We have ideas too, don't we? And this week, as we're finishing up our school year, my students had great ideas to watch movies. And I said, I don't think that's a very good idea because you got a final coming up. And so we didn't do it. And then they said, it's a bad idea to study for finals. And I go, what? You're here for a reason. So sometimes what we think is good really is not. And what some people think is a bad idea might be a really good one. You know, in today's world, it seems like all people want to do is throw people down and say, well, that's stupid, or that's ignorant, or that's not very smart. That's not a really good idea. So this morning, I want to give you a practical message on how to deal with a good idea. And we're going to look at 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 1 through 12. 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 1 through 12. Now, Chronicles is one of those books that if you're reading through the Bible and you manage to get through Leviticus, then you come to Chronicles. And the first several chapters, first seven chapters of Chronicles, is about all the lineage of the families of Israel. There was a purpose for that, so they could express their genealogy when they were in captivity. Say, I'm from this family, and they could go back to the possession after captivity. But if you could get through those first chapters of Chronicles with all those names that you can't pronounce, and go, ah, you'll get into basically the ascension of David as king of Israel. In a way of background this morning, before we get to 1 Chronicles 17, we need to understand what these chapters say and what David has experienced. Now, David was anointed to be king by Samuel when Saul disobeyed God. And Saul disobeyed God by worshiping God what he shouldn't have, by not doing what God told him to with the Amalekites. And so God had rejected Saul. And Saul knew that David was going to be the king. It wasn't going to be Jonathan. It wasn't going to be his own family. And he resented that. And there was an actual civil war in Israel over this. And so you can read the Samuel, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel talks about that. But then we get into 1 Chronicles chapter 12, and we see that David is now confirmed king. Saul has been killed. His sons have been killed by the Philistines. And now all of Israel is united to bring the kingdom to David, and David is going to be the king. So that is a central part of 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Then, after David becomes king, he has this great idea. Let's bring the ark to Jerusalem. That's where he's going to reign. He wants the presence of God with him all the time. The presence of God is represented by the ark. And so in chapter 13, he consults with all the leaders of the families of Israel. That's a great idea. And you can have a great idea, but do it the wrong way. And so they find the ark and they put it on a cart instead of carrying it. And as they're on the cart hits a bump. The ark starts slipping off. A guy by the name of Uzzah tries to keep the ark on the wagon and he dies. Now everybody's going, that wasn't very good. And sometimes we have a good idea, it comes out with a bad result. And so David says, I don't think we're going to bring the ark up to Jerusalem until we can get this thing sorted out. And so it stays with the family of Obedom. In chapter 14, Hiram, the king of Tyre, finds out that David is now king. Everybody of Israel's around him. He says, hey, it's time for you to build a palace. He says, I'll help you. And so he builds David this magnificent palace out of cedar. And so David is now coming up and up and up. And the Philistines, which were the notorious enemies, the arch enemies of Israel, find out about it. And they try to fight David one last time. And they're defeated. So in chapters 15 and 16 of 1 Chronicles, David says, you know, that was a good idea to bring the ark into Jerusalem. And that's what God really wants us to do. And says, let's go to go do it the right way. And he goes and gets Levites, and he goes and gets the staves that they carry the ark with, and they go and they praise God, and they sacrifice to God, and they do everything in order, and they successively bring the ark to Jerusalem, and they put it into another tent. Now, the tabernacle in the wilderness has been gone, so they built several tents for this thing. And so he's building a special place. Folks, God has to have a special place in our life. If God has a special place in your life, then good things are going to happen in your life. And so they bring it in chapter 16, talks about the praising of Israel, that now that the ark is in Jerusalem, which is identified now as the capital of Israel. So everything is going pretty good. And now David has another good idea. And that brings us to our text in 1 Chronicles chapter 17 this morning. But before we read God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth of it. Father, help us, Lord, to follow it. Father, help us, Lord, to learn from it. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit have full reign here today. Father, we ask that your word will change our lives, Lord. Take away all distractions, Father. Take away Satan. He has no right here. And Lord, I just ask that you just give us a good time in your word. And Father, help us to learn your truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So in our text this morning, in 1 Chronicles chapter 17, verses 1 to 12, it says, now it came to pass, as David sat in his brand new home, that David said to Nathan the prophet, lo, I dwell in a house of cedars, but the ark of the covenant of the Lord remaineth under curtains. Then Nathan said unto David, do all that is in thine heart, for God is with thee. And it came to pass the same night that the word of God came to Nathan, saying, go and tell David my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house to dwell in. For I have not dwelt in a house since the day that I brought up Israel unto this day, but have gone from tent to tent, and from one tabernacle to another. Wheresoever I have walked with all Israel, spake I a word to any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to feed my people, saying, why have ye not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore thus shall thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, even from following the sheep, that thou shouldest be ruler over my people Israel. And I have been with thee whithersoever thou hast walked, and have cut off all thine enemies from before thee, and have made thee a name like the name of the great men that are in the earth. Also I will ordain a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they shall dwell in their place, and shall be moved no more, neither shall the children of wickedness waste them any more as at the beginning. And since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, moreover I will subdue all thy enemies. Furthermore, I tell thee that the Lord will build thee an house. And it shall come to pass when thy days be expired, that thou must go to be with thy fathers, that I will raise up thy seed after thee, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. What we see in this passage is that David has this great idea. He wants to build a temple of God. And at the first, everybody seems to be on board with it, Nathan. But immediately God comes in and says, no. Your son is going to build it. So what we see here is what the Bible can teach us about how we can deal with good ideas. Now, the first thing is some of you say, well, if that's what happens, I'll never have a good idea again. That doesn't mean anything. What we see here is that we should get good ideas. We should think good things. Christ himself says that if you have good in your heart, you're going to do good fruit. If you have evil in your heart, you're going to do evil fruit. We should have good ideas. We should have good ideas about how to raise our kids. We should have good ideas about how the church should run. We should have good ideas on how to win the lost for Christ. But we should have good ideas, especially when good things happen. David has now been king. He now has a palace. The ark is in Jerusalem. Things are going well for him. And now he's thinking about God and all the blessings that God has done for him. And he says, we need to do some good things for God. A lot of us think of God as a God of crisis. We only come to God when there's some trouble in our lives. But he's God of the mountain along being God of the valley. And the tendency is that when good things happen, we tend to stray away. That's when we should have good ideas about God. That's when we should do things for him. That's when we should have things that we should want to get done. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18, God tells Moses to tell the people of Israel. He says, when you get into the promised land, don't forget me. Don't forget that I brought you out of Egypt. Don't forget that I parted the Red Sea. Don't forget that I fed you in the wilderness. Don't forget that I helped you defeat your enemies. Don't forget that I gave you water when there was no water. Don't forget that you have this land as a promise, which you never seen before. Don't forget those things. But in verse 18 of Deuteronomy 6, it says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. Folks, good things will happen and good ideas will happen when you're surrounded by good. You should not think evil things when good things are around you. However, the world tries to do that today. So you should get good ideas when good things happen. When good things happen in your life, do you think about good things or do you think about bad things? How to tear all that stuff up? It should cause us to think about God. So David is sitting here in his house. It says, and it came to pass as David sat in his house and he looks around all the good that God has done. He says, I need to do something good for God. Here's a good idea. See, you should get good ideas when you're surrounded by good people. So the person in verse 1 that's with him is Nathan, the man of God. Now this is before Bathsheba. Nathan is following God. He's the prophet of God. And he tells Nathan, he says, look, he says, I dwell in this good house, but the ark of God is in a tent. I don't think that's right. I don't think that's fair to God. And so he says, look, we need to do something about this. And what does Nathan say? He says, yep, you're absolutely right. We need to do something about this. See, you should get good ideas when good things happen in your life. You should get good ideas when you're surrounded by good people. But there's a lot of people say, I don't think so. There's a lot of naysayers out there today. You're not going to get good ideas being around negative people. It's not going to happen. So, I don't think it's any coincidence that Nathan's there when David is musing over this idea of his. So you should get good ideas when good things happen. You should get good ideas when surrounded by good people. And you should get good ideas when God is the focus of your thoughts. He says, I'm sitting here in this house, and the Ark of the Covenant, which represents the presence of God, is sitting in a tent. God should have better. God should have what? Best. It's a good idea. And it's the right idea to give God your best. Now, we're going to talk about touch on the will of God. Sometimes we have an opportunity, we want to know if it's the will of God or not. And the issue is, if it's a good thing and nothing's prohibiting you from doing it, seek some counsel and say, hey, I have this idea. What do you think? And then go forward with it. God will change your mind if it's not. See, that's how we walk by faith and not by sight. So, God is the focus of His thoughts here. Deuteronomy 6, verse 7, it says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, parents. I don't understand when my kid doesn't like church. Did you ever tell him about church? Did you ever tell him about God? Folks, we have to do that. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house. What in thine house? What was this? As he sat in his house, he started thinking about this. And when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. We need to understand this. We need to delight ourselves in the Lord. If we delight ourselves in the Lord, He'll give us the desires of our heart. It's what Psalm 37, 4 says. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall what? Direct thy paths. Folks, you can't do things for God unless you're thinking about Him. You know, there's these billboards around San Antonio that says, thank God. But do we really do that? It should be a state of mind, not something that we get periodically. It should be all the time. So you should get good ideas when you realize how good God has been to you. You should get good ideas when you're surrounded by God's people who are going the same way. You should get good ideas when God is the focus of your thoughts. And if there's nothing that's prohibited in the Bible and it's glorify God, go for it. There's a lot of people who want to say, but, or what, or no. Just go for it. And so David has this great idea, and he's going to move forward with it. And there's nothing wrong with that. Because he's trying to do what? Glorify God and give God the best. There's nothing ever wrong in doing that. Now, let's say that you are near someone and you hear them have a good idea. What should we do? We should support good ideas. We should support good ideas. Now, look at verse 2. It says, now Nathan said unto David, do what? Do all that is in thine heart. Why? For God is with thee. Folks, when you're serving God, you're not going to do anything wrong. God may redirect your path, as it says in the Proverbs. But let's do something. I guarantee you, nothing will get done if that's what you think about. It's nothing. Maybe that's where you are today. We need to think good things. So, Nathan says, I'm going to support your idea there, David, because you're following God. We should support the good ideas of those who are following God. He says, God is with thee. Psalm chapter 125, verse 4 says this. It says, do good, O Lord, unto what? Those that be good, and to them that are what? Upright in their hearts. That's a prayer of the psalmist here. And this is what Nathan is saying. He said, I don't see anything wrong with that. I think it's a good thing. And you know, it's a good thing at times to get consensus. It says in the multitude of counselors, there's what? Safety. And so, folks, if we hear a good thing in the church, someone has a good idea, don't be the one to poo-poo it. There are a lot of good ideas out there. And we need to embrace them. Amen. And just say, but we tend to say, hey, that tent's been good enough for the last couple centuries. It's good enough now. We don't need any change. That's not what Nathan said. He said, change is good here. This is a good thing to do. So he wants to move forward. Good ideas allow you to move forward. And we should support the good ideas of those following God. And so what Nathan says here, says, do all. Do all that is in thine heart. And so what we should do is we should do provoke them to action. Instead of shutting down their ideas, we ought to encourage your idea and actually help do it. And say, I'm with you. I'm behind you. I think it's a great idea. Let's do it. Let's do it. Paul writes to Timothy. And he says, you got people around you that have a lot of resources. And you, Timothy, need to encourage them to use their resources for good. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do what? Do good. That they do good, and that they may be rich in what? Good works. So the issue here is that Nathan sees King David, and David's got all the resources in the world. He says, do it. Do it. You can. So let's go and do that. And that's the same thing he's telling Timothy. Paul's telling Timothy. He says, look, you have all these riches and everything. Do good with it. Do it. Do what you can for God. Says that they do good and that they be rich in good works, that ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for them a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. But you know something? There's a lot of good ideas that fall by the wayside. There's a lot of good ideas that never go to fruition because other people don't support it. And people actually hinder it because it's never been done that way before. When the children came out of captivity, they were told by Cyrus to go and build the temple. So they go and a first group of them go with Zerubbabel, and they're going to build the temple. They start laying the foundation, and people around them say, it's really not a good idea for you to build this temple. And they started frustrating the work. Later on, Nehemiah finds out about the city and it's lying in waste. He said, we need to go fix the walls. That's a great idea, folks. Let's go restore Jerusalem. Let's restore the temple. Let's restore the city. Those are great ideas. They were brought to them by God. And so they went and they did it. And what happened? There were adversaries that came and said, it's really not a good idea that you go against the king. And they wrote letters and they frustrated the work. Ezra, the same thing. He goes back there and all these people are discouraged because the good idea has fallen flat because of all the resistance. Folks, the last place that there should be resistance of good ideas is in the church or in your family. And in Ezra chapter 4, verse 4, it says, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. So here's my question this morning. Do you get some good ideas? Are you afraid to share them with someone because of what other people will think? If you hear a good idea, would you be willing to support it? Even though it might be something in the unknown. We can't prevent that. So we should get good ideas. We should support good ideas. And it says, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them. We should not be a trouble to good ideas. We should be an encouragement to them. So, we know the story here. So Nathan says, yep, I'm on board with this. This sounds like a good thing. Nathan goes home to his house. David's in his house. God speaks to Nathan. Verse 3, it says that it came to pass that night that the word of the Lord of God came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell David, my servant, thus saith the Lord, thou shalt not build me a house." Great idea, but not now. Great idea, but not now. What we should do with good ideas is allow God to change them to His way. And we see that in the rest of our passage this morning. The first thing is allow God to change good ideas when they conflict with God's will. God said, "I don't want it right now. I'm perfectly content with the tent." You know why? Because there's probably other priorities that have to be done. Like get Israel on a level that they're worshiping God, that they're all united, that they're following David, that they're doing the right thing. So you can't do the right thing when you're not doing the right thing. And so in verses 3 and 4 here, we say it conflicts with God's word. He says, "You go God's will." He says, "Nope, I don't want it right now." Now, in verses 5 and 12, the second thing is when it conflicts with God's word. So if it sounds like a good idea, go ahead and do it. But then all of a sudden, if you figure out that God says, "No, that's not right," then you stop. And you allow God to change it. Or you find it's not in accordance with His word. You stop. You don't keep on pushing through and say, "This is my idea. I'm going to go through with it." So allow God to change good ideas when it conflicts with God's will. Not everything that sounds good to you is good to God. Okay? Not every way you do good is necessarily the right way. And so, God gives some reasons here. He says, "This is not the right time." In verses 5 and 6, He says, "Look, I've been in a tent ever since I came out of Egypt with you all. And there's no need to change right now. It's not the right time." And we know later on, He says, "Your son's going to do this. But you're not going to do it right now. Because it may not be the right time, may not be the right person. May not be the right person." Now, we don't see the reason here. But Nathan reveals to David, or God reveals to David directly what the reason is. In verse 8 of 1 Chronicles chapter 22, it says, "But the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Thou hast shed blood abundantly, and hast made great wars. Thou shalt not build a house unto my name, because thou hast shed much blood upon the earth in my sight." Great idea, not the right time. Great idea, but you're not going to be the one to accomplish it because of this. Now, when you're at work and you have this great idea and you go to the boss and you say, "Hey, I got this great idea," and the boss says, "Nah," and shuts you down, what do? You go and you go in your cubicle and you sulk, or you get angry. But here's the amazing thing of how David dealt with this good idea that was basically squashed. He didn't have this pride of ownership thing. He said, "Okay." He accepted what God said to him, and that's how you live in God's will. You have an open door, you go through it. God changes direction, you follow the change in direction. God stops you, you stop. But you don't get frustrated with God because it's not your way.
Right.
And so David has a challenge. He could act the human way and say, "I have no part of this anymore." Or he could follow God and do the last point. So the first point is what? We should get good ideas. You're never going to get a good idea unless you think on God. The next thing is we should support good ideas of people who are trying to follow God. The third thing is we need to allow people, we shouldn't even allow God to change the direction of this when it's not the right time, when it's not the right group of people Or maybe we find out that there's a conflict with God himself. And we shouldn't be stubborn and say, well, it's not going to be my way. It's not going to be any way at all. And I've seen people like that. And you've seen people like that too. So how do we react to this? Well, the last point is you should support God's ideas. You support God's ideas. To support God's ideas, the first thing you have to do is agree with them. So David had this idea. Says it's not going to happen. Your son's going to do it. He realizes why. It's because he's a man of war. And God didn't want to attribute that to him. You know, in the Bible it talks about one plants the seed, one waters, but who gets the increase? God. Same principle. Same principle. So David comes to this. He's got a revelation here. And he says, okay, I'm going to support it. In verse 23 of our text chapter says, therefore now, Lord, let the thing that thou hast spoken concerning thy servant and concerning his house be established forever, and do as thou, as what? Thou hast said. Folks, you won't change a church. God will. You won't change your family. God will. You won't change your workplace. God will. Let God do it. You won't change a country. God will through you. That's the point. That's the point. We need to agree with God's idea. He says, do it as thou hast said. Now, here's the neat part about that. David didn't build the house, but he got everything ready for it. And so the second thing we need to do to support God's ideas is to assist to bring God's ideas to pass. David will never see the temple. That's completed. He's going to die. But he has the promise that it's going to be completed. And he says, I believe in that promise and I have faith in that promise so much that I'm going to help that happen. I can't tell you what's going to happen in 5 or 10 years. We may not even be here. But what we should do now is do all the things necessary to get us to that point. To get us to that point. So here's four things that David did. And here's four things that we could do to support God's ideas and to help those that have good ideas. For first of all, he acquired workers. Now David went on and had some more conflict with other people. And God gave him the victory. And in 1 Chronicles 22 verse 2, he says, and David commanded to gather together the strangers that were in the land of Israel, and he set masons to hew wrought stones to build the house of God. So first thing he says, I'm not going to build it, but I can find people who can. And we need a whole bunch of rock. We need a whole bunch of stones to build this thing. Let's get started. Let's not wait till it stops raining. Okay? That's supposed to be a joke. Didn't get there. Okay? We'll move the sign one day. That's not God's time yet. Okay? But David acquired workers. And so now he's got resources necessary to make the temple happen. And we know that these stones, when you go and you understand the construction of the temple, the stones were cut out there at the quarry and then dragged to transport Jerusalem. And there wasn't any tool sound there. There wasn't any metal banging and hammers banging when that happened. David acquired wealth. He acquired resources to make this happen. In verse 14 of 1 Chronicles 22, it says, now behold, in my trouble, I have prepared for the Lord, for the house of the Lord, 100,000 talents of gold. That's a lot of gold. I guarantee you it's more than we have in Fort Knox now. And 1,000 talents of silver. That's 1,000,000 talents, folks. Incredible. Folks, even though he's not going to build the house, God's blessing him in a mighty way. He's acquiring these workers and he's acquiring all this wealth. And he's acquiring all the stuff necessary to make it happen. And and of brass and iron without weight, for it is in abundance. Timber also and stone have I prepared that thou mayest add thereto. He's talking to Solomon. He said, look, he says, here's a good start. Here's a really good start. Here's all your workers. Here's all the stuff. And then he goes on and he advises him. So he acquires workers, he acquires wealth, he advises Solomon. In verse 6 of chapter 22, it says, then he called for Solomon's son and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. Don't let good ideas die with you. He passed him on to his son because that's what God's will was. And then in chapter 28, verses 10 to 11, not only does he require the workers necessary for the stonework, not only does he acquire all the work, the wealth necessary to do it, not only does he charge Solomon to do the work, but he gives him the blueprint. He gives him the blueprint. He says, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and what? Do it. Do it. Then David gave to Solomon, his son, the pattern of the porch and the houses thereof, and of the treasuries thereof, and of the upper chambers thereof, and of the inner parlors thereof, and of the place of the mercy seat. And then it goes on in further verses. It talks about the court and how it all going to be laid out and where everything was going to be done. See, God doesn't waste a good idea. He uses you to get to the end. He doesn't waste it. Oh, not only that. He already set up the whole issue of worship. He took all the Levites and counted them out and basically divided them up into 24 courses. That each month they were supposed to, one course was going to come and minister in the tabernacle. And eventually minister. He says, so David says, here's the workers, here's the stuff, here's the blueprints. Oh, by the way, the Levites are ready to go and they're already starting to do the work of the temple now. All you have to do is follow through. All you have to do is follow through. And David encouraged him. And the last point is that David encouraged him. In 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20, it says, and David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed. It's going to take a long time to do it. Don't get wore out. Don't get discouraged. Don't get defeated. God's with you. He's been with me. Look at all this. For the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished what? All the work for the service of the house of the Lord. And so what we need to do is we need to get good ideas. We need to support the good ideas of others. We need to allow God and be in tune with God so much that those ideas can change and we'll follow His direction. We'll follow His will, we'll follow His word. Then we need to support the new idea and do as much as we can and pass it on to the next generation. Folks, that's what we need to do. How do we deal with good ideas today in the church? Do we do it like this? See, the real issue is this. God may be trying to tell us something. We need to be listening. We need to be listening. Maybe you're here today and say, well, this doesn't make sense. Maybe you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I got great news. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died on the cross for your sins. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again to show He has victory over sin, victory over death, which is the wages of sin. And now He offers the gift of salvation to all those who ask for forgiveness. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
Maybe you need that today. Then you can get good ideas. Folks, for us that know God, are we listening? Are we thinking this way? If it's not my ideas, it's not going to work. Nope. Get rid of pride of ownership and let God work in your life. And let's see where God wants to take us. Amen? God wants to build a great church. He wants to build a glorious church without having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Let's be part of that. Let's stand.